So that's how they used to do it, you know? And I really like that because, you know, it's all about not being happy. It's all about suffering. It's all about just being in that place in your life where you can't figure out the next step. So I'm going to talk about being happy today. I'm going to talk about, you know, finding happiness in all the right places. Now, a wise man once said, the only way a human being is going to be happy is to be stupid, self-centered, and in good health. And you know, it doesn't even work if you're just self-centered and in good health. You need to be stupid too. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we can be smart, intelligent, clear, and wise, and still be happy. But if we're out there looking for happiness, more than likely we're not going to find it. We need to prepare ourselves for happiness. We need to be ready to accept happiness when it arises in the world around us. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, how to prepare for happiness. Now, the first thing we need to do is we need to have a moral foundation, because happiness is fleeting if it's based on immorality. We want our happiness to hang around, stay around as long as it can. So in finding our happiness, in preparing to find it, as a Buddhist, I would recommend taking the five precepts. The five precepts allow us to live in the world in a harmonious way, to live next to each other, with each other. And I have the five precepts song. I'll sing it for you really quickly. So you can hear the five precepts of a Buddhist, or if you want to expand that, just the five precepts of a human being trying to be a little better in this world. And it sort of goes like this. I will practice not to take life, practice not to take life. Practice not to take life, I will practice every day. I will practice not to take stuff, practice not to take stuff. Practice not to take stuff, I will practice every day. I will practice loving kindness, practice loving kindness. Practice loving kindness, I will practice every day. I will practice not to tell lies, practice not to tell lies. Practice not to tell lies, I will practice every day. I will practice not to get high, practice not to get high. Practice not to get high, I will practice every day. Now that last one's a tough one. It always elicits a response. And I was speaking at a Buddhist temple in Orange County. We had some 14 and 15 year olds listening to that song. And one of the guys said, can we practice that fifth one, not getting high on Wednesday, and not do it on Friday? So it's a tough one. But that's how we start to find our happiness, by practicing to speak skillfully and act skillfully in this world of ours. Now, somebody once said that maybe the purpose of life, maybe the meaning of life, is nothing more than finding happiness. And you know what? As I thought about it, I agree. I think the whole meaning of our life could simply be nothing more than finding happiness. But there's a little twist to this. It's not about your happiness, you know? And so I'm going to continue. So as we start to practice the five precepts, and that changes what we say and what we do, then we can start practicing loving kindness meditation. Now, loving kindness meditation is very important in Buddhism. And the word love is rarely out there all by itself. It seems to be connected to kindness in every way. If you love somebody really and aren't kind to them, do you really love them? Probably not. So love and kindness. And I'm going to share with you the loving kindness meditation, and I can email it here if you want to practice yourself. It's great to practice early in the morning when you get up, before you start your day. And it's great to practice at night before you go to sleep, because then you'll have good dreams. And there's nothing better than good dreams. Just go to the movie Inception and you'll know what I'm talking about. Loving kindness. May I be happy, peaceful, and free from suffering. May no harm come to me. May no difficulties come to me. May no problems come to me. May I always find fulfillment. May I also have patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome the inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. So I'm starting with me. May I be happy? May I prepare myself to receive happiness from this world of ours? And after I've worked on myself, then I need to work on everybody else. May my parents, my partners, my pets, my brothers and sisters, my relatives, all the people I don't know. How many people don't you know? Like 6 billion? All the people I don't know, and all the people I don't like. May they too be happy, peaceful, and free from suffering. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always find fulfillment. May they also have patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome the inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Now you might think we're through, but we're not. We've got one more category to go. All the sort of unseen creatures that we don't know about or don't care about. May all beings arisen in this world with consciousness and without, with perception and without, with intention and without. May they too be happy, peaceful, and free from suffering. May no harm come to them. May no difficulties come to them. May no problems come to them. May they always find fulfillment. May they also have patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome the inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. Okay, now you're ready for the day. You've gotten up, maybe had your first cup of coffee, maybe not. You've gone through the intention of being loving and kind to all these things in the world, and now you're going to go outside and see if it really works. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, happiness is sort of a tricky thing. People go places to be happy. People do things to be happy. People think the external is going to create happiness in the internal. And I don't think it really does. I've gone to Disneyland. I'm not necessarily happy because of that. I've looked into the faces of the park workers who were there for 8-10 hours dealing with people like me. I don't see happiness. So sometimes wanting happiness and doing something out there doesn't provide us in here with that happiness. So maybe happiness is internal. Maybe it's up to us. Maybe we're in charge of our happiness. Maybe no one or no thing can give it to us because we already have it. It's in place. We just need to stimulate it. It might have atrophied because of lack of use. But happiness is there. And so this intention, the intention to be kind and loving to all the creatures and things in the world, and we go off into the world, and now we need to transform that intention into activity, and I call that the activity of compassion. So I don't think compassion is just feeling good about yourself because you want to do good things in the world. I think compassion is when you do good things in the world. And what does that do for you? It allows you to be happy. Happiness, true happiness, not the momentary happiness, not the iPod or iPad happiness, but the true happiness in the world occurs because we have invested ourselves in making the world a better place. Now, you don't have to work with humans. There are all sorts of, like, I'm going to give you an example of how I'm practicing and how my happiness is created every day. And you may not think that's the case when you hear this story, but it seems to be. We have a dog at our meditation center. His name is Mitch, and somehow years ago, Mitch came to our meditation center and never left. We started to feed Mitch, and Mitch liked that. We opened the gate, and Mitch came in, and he never wanted to go outside the gate ever again. And he stayed in the backyard, and we had other dogs, and he bonded with the other dogs. And now we have cats, and he's bonding with the cats, and they all like Mitch. But you know what's happening to Mitch? Mitch is getting old. And isn't that just the paradox of pet ownership? They don't last long enough. We can go through 4, 5, 6 pets in our lifetime. And every time we're so happy when the little puppies and kittens come into our life, and we're so sad when the elder cats and dogs leave. So Mitch is an elder dog, and he's almost blind. Pardon me as I feel my kindness for him. And almost deaf. And Mitch, for the last 2 years, has been living in my room. Now, I just live in a small room, and Mitch loves it there because I get to walk over Mitch all the time. And Mitch looks up, and he knows he's loved because I'm walking over him. A couple months ago, Mitch couldn't walk down the stairs anymore. My room's on the second floor. So Mitch is about 70 pounds. Now, Andy remarked today when he saw me, he says, "Something's different about you, Kusala." He says, "You look like you've lost a little weight." I said, "Yes. I take care of Mitch." So 5 or 6 times a day, I pick Mitch up, take him downstairs, let him walk around in the yard, and then I bring him back up again until it's time to take him back down again. And I want to tell you, the first couple weeks was tough because Mitch likes to get up about 5. You know, and I don't know if you can imagine what the very first thing you do in the morning at 5 o'clock is carry a 70-pound dog down the stairs. So I thought about heart attack, stroke. Will this be the way I exit the universe, you know? But rather than getting a stroke or a heart attack, I got stronger. I lost a little weight. Mitch and I bonded even more. And Mitch just rests there in my arms as we walk down the stairs together, and he's looking around, and he's doing fine. I fed him today, and I walked him today, and he's now taking a little nap until I get back, and I'll be taking him downstairs one more time, you know? But in doing that, in being kind and being of service to another creature in this world, there's a certain sense of happiness that arises in my life. Not because I'm a good person, but simply because Mitch feels better because of what I do. And his happiness translates into my happiness. And if you have elder parents, it can be a difficult challenge. I am amazed at how difficult it is with an elder dog, let alone an elder human. And sometimes you can feel like you've been lost and nothing's going right for you. And yet there are these moments where you just smile. You just have this sense of peace and contentment because you're connected to another human being or another living being in a very special way. You're connected through kindness. Your activity of compassion benefits that human or non-human. So true happiness is something that's difficult to acquire because we need to work on it. We need to work on ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves to find happiness in the world. And ultimately, as we grow and mature and gain some gray hair and a couple wrinkles, we start to see that maybe the world isn't all about us. Maybe we don't have to be stupid and self-centered and in good health to find happiness. Maybe we can be wise and compassionate and find happiness as well. So don't give up. Happiness is out there, but it's out there because it's already inside of you. Now, I want to share something. I'm going to sort of go away from the happiness into something that's probably as important. As you know, a couple weeks ago, there was this woman in Tucson, Arizona, who got shot in the head. Does anybody remember the song by Dion, Abraham, Martin, and John? Oh, yeah. You know, those kind of songs are not being sung anymore. We need to start singing those songs again. I think we need to start singing some songs about peace and getting along with each other. So I, in the last month or so, have been singing two songs at the Buddhist temples in Orange County. I sang, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" and "If I Had a Hammer." And do you know that not one of those children had heard either one of those songs? So I was happy to be the person who introduced them. Every Tuesday, I'm at UCLA. We have a Buddhist club that meets intelligent, wise, clear students working hard to become somebody. I sang those songs to them. Not one of the students had heard those songs before. I said, "What is wrong with our world? Is it just because I'm old? Is that the problem? Or is the problem, you know, Lady Gaga?" So I think we can have it all. I think we can have Lady Gaga, and I think we can have Paul McCartney, and I think we can have maybe some Dion or Bobby Darin. Now, I've been working on this song. I'm going to share it with you today. This is the Bobby Darin song called Simple Song of Freedom. Now, I had to change some of the words because if you listen to the original song, it's a little bit dated, and I wanted to update it, but I didn't change too many words. Now, having said that, I just received in the mail a 3-DVD set of The Best of Hootenanny. Has anybody ever heard of Hootenanny? All right. What a great TV show. 63, 64 was on like a year and a half. And, you know, Jack Linkletter was the guy who would introduce. And all these people were playing acoustic instruments. Not one of them was plugged in. And you had the bass player sometimes, and you had the 4-string tenor guitar and the 12-string guitar and the 6-string guitar. And you had these wonderful voices just singing about stuff. And a lot of the stuff they were singing about had to do with just trying to get along with each other. So, in the spirit of Hootenanny, as I come to the chorus in this little simple song of freedom, maybe we could all sing together, just like the good old days, you know, when people weren't afraid to sing with each other. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice or a bad voice, or know the words or don't know the words. It's all about community and just feeling better about that community. So here we go, Simple Song of Freedom. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Oh, sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want no war. Hey there, young and old, can you hear me? I don't want your diamonds or your game. I just want to be known to you as me. And I'll bet the farm you want the same. Whoop. sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want no war. 7 billion people, are you listening? Most of what you read is filled with lies. Speaking one to one, ain't it everybody's son? Wake up to the morning when we rise. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We people here don't want no war. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want no war. All right. We just had an old-fashioned hootenanny. How is that cool or what? All right, now I've got one more thing I need to do, because Andy said to me, he said, Kusala, did you bring your harmonica today? And yes, I did. So we go from the sublime to the ridiculous? Is that how? Is that what we're doing here? All right. So this is a little blues in the key of G, and here we go. Thank you.